That's a throwback. 4 years, and I'm still talking about food.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to bag 4 years here on WTF at TFW. My name is Vangelis, and I'm your host this evening. With me today is Aaron.
How are we still going after almost 4 years?
I know. Good. Thank you for saying almost, because technically 4 years doesn't happen until the moment we complete this podcast.
And 4 years would be episode 208.
That's You're right.
52 times 4.
Why was I so obsessed with 204?
Carry the four. Yeah, that's 208.
Oh.
Oh, well, jeez.
Well, never mind. I don't care.
Yeah.
Hi, what's up, Omegas?
Hi. This just knocked the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, I was all pumped for a second. Why did I think it was 204?
Me and my damn math.
52.
Take your logic and you get out of here.
52, 104. Oh! Yeah, you're right. No. I feel a lot more relaxed now.
Hooray, public schools.
I was going to say, due to a whole bunch of stuff I was doing this evening, this episode of WTF at TFW is in complete disarray. I've already managed to lose Lupus again. We just got our Lupus back, and I've misplaced him. So I got home, you know, an hour and a half after we usually start, because I was covered in latex out in the docks. And that's all I really got to say. I had to shower it all off when I got home. But... we're here. We're ready. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Good. You guys ever had latex stuck all over your face?
Yeah.
Ever peeled it off?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good?
Yeah, it did, but at the same time, it was like, bleh.
It's like pain, but satisfaction at the same time. Yeah. It's, oh.
You were old, I was zombie.
Oh, you had the zombie latex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff was fun, man.
Yeah.
I want to do it again.
The worst thing was, after I did that, it was because there was other makeup in there, too. So the latex stuff came off, and it was my skin underneath it. And then it was, like, the line of where they thinned it out. Then it was the zombie makeup that took, like, two good shower scrubbings, which makes me think that it wasn't the right makeup that I should have had on my face.
That's what I was doing when I got home, when I said I need 15 minutes, and I took 25 minutes, was...
Yeah.
Getting all the silver out of my hair and all the ancillary makeup from around the latex off my face. Now, most of it's out. I don't think there are any more nuggets of latex stuck in my hair. But
oh, there will be.
I went through really hard. I lost a lot of hair ripping all that stuff out. But oh, anyway, guys, Transformers. We've got masterpiece news, ladies and gentlemen. We've got, and I haven't even looked at it yet, our first color pictures of Masterpiece 12 Sideswipe. Or Lambor. Okay, so, let's see. They're showing him come out of MP10. They're showing him next to MP10. He looks pretty hella short next to MP10. He's got a gun and a rocket launcher. His hands turn into fist, pounder, pile driver things. Okay. And his car mode is gorgeous. Alright, I want it. There's no jetpack being shown. That's a bummer. Maybe it's in there somewhere. That's cool. I gotta say, I definitely am feeling way better about this thing now that I'm seeing the physical model posed and photographed by eHobby, because they know how to do that. I think we went through this cycle with Alternity way back multiple times, and I was expecting it this time. Between the lowered price from the over $100 price we were expecting and the lines and silhouettes I'm seeing on this thing, I think I am seriously just shoot in on this. This looks beautiful. Aaron, what about you? How are you feeling about Lambor?
I really like it. It's actually a, Countach, which is what the Lamborghini was, that, Sideswipe came out of, which was something that I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if they were going to do a very close to, or if they were actually going to do it, which this makes me think, and I think one of the listings actually had translated, like, licensed. So that gets me more excited about it than, you know, many of the other Sideswipe Sunstreakers that we've gotten that have been really close but not legally actionable Lamborghinis, and this one is a licensed or right the heck on it Lamborghini. So props.
I would really like it if it says, like, you could legally action this, but we got the legal action done already, written somewhere on the box. Legally actioned. A huge splash sticker.
Yeah.
Omegas, how about you? How are you feeling about the MP12?
I am similarly pumped that this is a licensed Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful car mode. Thrilled that he's going to be back in proper form, in vehicle, in robot. It is a gorgeous looking toy. Like, and especially because, honestly, I've missed a lot of the MPs lately just because they've been so expensive and I can never get around to getting them. This is a welcome change.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually just listening to an older episode of Pre-Order 66 because I'm catching up on that while I'm on my transit rides, and I was listening to the discussion they were having that we had on this show. I forgot if it was with you guys or with Gog and Seth, but like the discussion of like, well, this thing looks good and all, but 130, no. And is this thing going to cost less than 100? Probably not. I love the fact that we're all eating our hats on that one. Because it's wonderful. It looks small, but I'm seeing like such potentially awesome engineering in it that I don't care. And the lines just look gorgeous. The sculpt looks super crisp. I'm definitely into this. is the debate still going on about whether or not people are absolutely certain they're going to make a Sunstreaker out of this? Because I don't think they will. But having listened to that older episode of Pre-Order 66, I know that, you know, Jared is super pumped to have more people telling him it's going to be made out of... they're going to have a Sunstreaker made out of this. I mean, that's apparently one of his favorite topics, as far as I could hear. way back.
Well, since this is the licensed Lamborghini, they don't have the luxury of modifying the roof to look more like Sunstreaker's chest this time.
Yeah.
So it'd kind of be insulting if they did an MP and out of this.
And they totally wouldn't anyway. Like, this
right.
there's no reason why they would... I don't know. Like, there are so many... Like, Red Alert's already happening. There are so many other recolors of this toy to do that are not Sunstreaker. It seems pointless to waste Sunstreaker on it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the reason, because Sunstreaker really doesn't have any potential repaints.
Yeah. Well. Surely there was a red Sunstreaker, side streaker. There you go. They can 2-pack him up with a yellow side swipe.
Yeah.
Sun swipe.
What, Tiger Tracks again?
Yeah. We'll call it Shattered Glass.
That makes everything better.
Sideswipe is looking good. And when is he coming out? October? Was that the date?
Yeah.
We are all set and ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. I think it was October, because I know the other two are
fall.
In December.
It's October.
Yeah, HLTS is October.
Okay.
Hooray! Okay, that's great. That sounds like the exact kind of toy I'd love to have in October. So Sideswipe, we've got the full, well, not the full, but we've gotten our nice solid info drop on. But we should also mention the other two Masterpiece toys coming out this year, apparently. Number one, MP12A. Apparently will have his own numbered release, possibly. On the 18th of June, we're going to find out all the info for sure, but we know it's going to be Red Alert. The bigger thing, though, is Masterpiece Soundwave has apparently had a cost increase from 12,000 yen to 15,800 yen. That's a big cost increase. And apparently it's confirmed he will come with exactly one cassette, which is Laserbeak. So, I'm curious. Apparently Big Bad Toy Store has already reacted to this by increasing the cost of their pre-order, which led to much debate.
I think the people that already had it on pre-order got a discount. On it, so they're at least being cool about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say as I blame them for increasing their price, because I would be willing to bet that a lot of what they went was kind of finger in the wind of pricing, since so much of that was early.
Oh, and until I see a Japanese listing, any Masterpiece toy price I see on an American website, I just assume is finger-in-the-wind stuff.
Yeah.
Masterpiece Soundwave I'm still interested in, but I really want to see what he does. And, like, just everything about him. Because now that his cost has gone up, that's putting him into the same position as the place that we thought Masterpiece already was headed to, which was extremely expensive toys that were questionably extremely expensive. None of them, to my personal opinion, have been obscenely expensive to the point that it was unjustified, objectively. As far as bang for your buck, it was somewhat unjustified, especially on stuff like MP10, but objectively, MP10 did use all that money in some way. I don't know, how are you guys feeling about Soundwave? Omegas, how are you feeling about this little increase on Mr. Wave?
For the most part, I'm okay with it, since it is one of the big three Decepticons. We have not gotten him in MP form yet, so I'm happy to get any Masterpiece Soundwave at this point. I'm okay with it because I sense down the line that we should probably see MP cassette sets. I just feel like that's somewhere in the winds, or at least it should be.
It seems like a really obvious thing to do.
Yeah, it's something that could be like a MP, whatever, 13C that comes out. Or maybe that'll be something that happens later of, oh, yeah, you bought, you know, you didn't buy Sound Blast. Oh, well, yeah, he's the one that comes with everybody else. You should have really known that.
I have an idea. With Lambor, or Sideswipe, they're now introducing this new Masterpiece price range of, like, whatever it is he's at, I've forgotten now, it's around about $80. What if they use that price range for cassettes? Like, sell a 4-pack of Masterpiece-level engineered cassettes for the price of the Masterpiece Sideswipe.
I think you'd need more in there than that to make the price equal out.
I'm just saying, 80. as a what-if. Imagine each cassette is a $20 toy somehow. Play with it a bit. Like, don't take my numbers, but take the concept.
Yeah, if it was...
Yeah, the
maybe
trick to this question
60
is,
for a 4-pack, because that's about the price. That's a little bit pricier than what the Microns are hitting at. And the Microns do have a decent amount of engineering in them when it comes down to it. Even 15 seems a little bit rich, but then you've got G1 and all that fun. So maybe at 15 a pop, it would be something that would be interesting as our own inbuilt listener question, kind of.
Yeah. I think the problem here is that we don't know exactly how big the cassettes are going to be or how much complexity they're going to have.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just shooting in the wind with this idea.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, having a Masterpiece Soundwave with a confirmed cassette opens that door entirely. Like, there is no way that he will only ever have Laserbeak to go in there. That's ludicrous, given... the nature of Masterpiece and how it makes its money back. So, I think this is a little bit of exciting news, because, I mean, now for the next year of Masterpiece, I think, is going to be really interesting to watch, because it's all going to new places. Like cassettes and affordable car transformers.
Yeah.
I'm shrugging. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Anything else you guys want to add about the new Masterpiece news? Are you shrugging? Are you going like,
Yeah, I'm shrugging. It's been talked a lot about. I think now at this point we just need in hand of Lambor.
Well, we said that about the Alternatives many times, and then we ended up talking about them constantly.
Right, but Alternatives also had their crazy fiction behind it, I think, that was a lot of our weight.
What if they make up crazy fiction for Sideswipe?
Then it might get more talk time.
What if this is Alternity Sideswipe, and that's the big reveal they're going to do at the end?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan.
I am Night Shyamalan. I got so much latex on my body today. Holy crap. Oh, man. Hi.
Hi.
Let's do some new picks, guys. I want to talk about some stuff. Aaron, I'm putting you up first. Tell me about pictures.
To continue my talk from last time's Transformers the Ride stuff, they have their own drinks and candy.
Holy crap, chocolate Allspark.
And Energon drink. I'm more interested in the Energon drink because it reminds me of what was that, the Lexington BotCon, where they had the cups and mugs that had the light-up flashy thing in it.
Oh, yeah.
that this has a light up, looks like maybe an AllSpark cube that is in the bottom of the glass.
I like those cups. They were, I mean, they were chintzy, but they were neat.
Yeah. Especially when you had a super dark drink in it. Made it look horrible. But it, I guess I've not been to a theme park in long enough of a time to realize the amount of merchandising that goes into all of this stuff.
I forgot about it, but the moment I saw chocolate AllSpark, I completely recalled it and am not surprised. And I'm kind of bummed because I want a chocolate AllSpark, but I want it to just be preserved forever. I want to buy like two so I can eat one and just like freeze the other one.
I wish I had an idea of scale on the thing too, because it looks like they're either potentially huge chunks of chocolate or very elaborate packaging for a small piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
I'd like to see somebody holding one of those AllSpark cube.
I'm sure a report is in the thread. My question is the actual chocolate sculpted, or is that just a really pretty wrapper and it's just a cube of chocolate?
Oh, God.
If it's just a cube of solid chocolate, then I don't care. I'll just, you know, I'll rip it open and eat it, say I did. And by that, I mean I'll take two bites and go like, oh, God, pre-diabetes, and just, like, fall down. But
no, that'll push you straight into post-diabetes. You're not even going to go through diabetes.
Oh, God, post-diabetes. I just start growing needles sticking out of my arm.
Yeah.
I spawn insulin shots.
Yeah.
Like a tree. Oh, God.
Because that's exactly how diabetes works. Diabetes. Why out. Diabetes?
Don't question.
Wolf and Brimley diabetes.
Don't question. Listen, do you have it? No? Well, there you go.
I have an uncle that lost a foot to it, though.
Ugh.
Ouch.
Wait, that's not funny, is it?
No.
No. Damn.
No.
Get out.
Back on track.
Yeah.
They're missing a huge opportunity here. I would so buy these if they were G1 Energon cubes. If I could just like sit down and munch G1 Energon cubes, like my life would be made.
That is a missed opportunity, because if there were G1 Energon cube candies, they'd be like chewy fruit candies, and they would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, but they'd all be like grape flavored, and eventually be like, okay, grape, I get it. Is there another grape?
Here you go. We make a white chocolate variant that we can actually color. So yes. We have milk chocolate and white chocolate.
Just use food coloring. Modern G1. Whatever the numbers are for it. Purple. I don't know the numbers. But yeah, I think it's doable. I think this stuff is fun. This is fun along, like, in a completely different but somewhat similar way to those Hostess Transformers cakes that came out that I never found. Because I'm in Canada where they don't allow that kind of trash to come up on the shelves. Are either of you guys planning to go to Universal Studios Hollywood in order to buy a chocolate AllSpark?
No.
Me neither. No. I'm not going to lie.
I'm strongly considering having someone send me an evac, so I may or may not tell them to ship a chocolate AllSpark to me too.
Oh, you're in America where that's possible without risk of the chocolate getting obliterated.
So you know what the fun thing is? I'm going to have an evac tomorrow.
You know what the fun thing is?
If only we were recording on our normal night.
Oh man, I want to grill you about that evac. Yeesh. You know what? I want to grill you about that evac. I want to know whether or not I should get an evac.
Well, we can wait for it or make a supplemental.
That was my. Did you get my joke there?
Yeah.
Where I'm pretending that I need your thoughts to decide on.
Yeah.
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 Latex.
Yeah.
Let's move along from Transformers: The Ride, drinks, and chocolate. Omegas, tell me about your new picture pick.
I'm not even sure this is on the front page yet, but it got linked to me, along with the masterpiece Lambor that eHobby has posted. They also put up the pictures for the Power Core Constructicons.
It went on the front page while you guys were talking.
And it's over top of...
There's more than just that in those photos. These photos confirm a lot of stuff that makes me upset about the price of these things.
We haven't seen it.
They're almost all in new colors.
Yep.
Like, the Heavy Tread is in way more Decepticon colors. The Boat Guy is in, like, Blur colors. Everyone's in new colors!
Oh my God.
The Tank's torso mode has a gold faceplate! I want all these, but they cost as much as Masterpiece Lambor, and that's so stupid.
All Nemesis. Oh my god.
Yeah. I really like that everything is aligned colors as well. Yeah.
I would so love to purchase any of those Power Core combiners if they were not costing idiotic amounts of money. But they are.
Ditto.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Hupper's gone completely Nemesis, and he's still an Autobot. What?
Nemesis Huffer. He's like an anti-hero.
He's not the Huffer that we wanted, but the Huffer that we needed.
That's right. He's not the Huffer that we deserve.
I just find the marketing differences fascinating here, because they do look a lot better when you unify the colors, but it does take away the whole advantage of being able to swap them around and make up your own.
And then the final bewildering marketing thing of making them cost as much as a Masterpiece toy.
I know!
Yeah. I've got to wonder if that's like, look, we're calling this an import, and
it's not.
So
it's not an import when you change all the colors.
Right, but I'm trying to think of how they're even coming up with those prices. It's a low production run.
It's
their
USA edition.
No, they're USA United edition. EX. So I think they might be trying to do the limited run deal with them.
Yeah.
And fine, but god damn it.
Oh yeah, I'm right there with you, but it's still like it's something that's got to just be because it's low numbers and there's nobody that's clamoring for the Power Core combiners, but they still wanted to get them out in the land of the rising sun. So like, we'll do it and we'll limited run, more expensive. People that want it are going to buy it because they're geeks, and
that's so aimed at least one third at us. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Two-thirds at the Japanese audience, for sure. Like, a majority of this, the Japanese audience never got to get at these guys. So this is definitely, like, just getting it to those guys somehow. And I'm sure this is probably, like, a limited-run thing. Like, this is aimed right at the hardcore fans. There's no media to go with these, so they're not producing them on the same level as a mainline in Japan toy.
Right.
But I'm sure that the color choices have got to, at least somewhere deep down, go like, and you know, there are some psychopath Americans who want all the Power Core toys.
Yeah, supposedly, though, they don't aim their numbers based on the U.S. Supposedly.
Supposedly. And I, if that's the truth, then sure. But, I mean, some of this stuff is hard to look at. Like, I mean, Constructicon-colored Power Core combiner Constructicons.
Yeah.
That's a pretty worldwide draw to me, but I don't know. And Sledge is in G2 colors.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Anyway, I have to not look at those or wait until Mandarake fills up with a bunch of them, which may not ever happen at sane prices. But, thanks for bringing up that open sore wound of the Japanese exclusive Power Core toys.
That's anytime.
Just what I needed. Speaking
look who's talking. Yeah, huh?
Speaking of open sore wounds, I want to talk about some third-party toys, namely the fact that we've got another third-party Devastator out in the wild complete, and the fact that Aaron sold off parts of his third-party Devastator, thus never completing it. Open sore
wounds.
That's
all right.
Open sore. So, the Giant by Make Toys is out and about. Set C has released. TF Source has shipped theirs. Big Bad Toy Store, I think, has shipped theirs. I'm sitting here just grinding my teeth waiting for Automaton Toys to ship theirs. They say they're getting Set C this week. And when they get it, they're sending it. I did an order on hold, so it's like a pile of loot. So when it comes in, I'll be getting all three sets at once. It's all paid up. I'm waiting for it now. And I've been eagerly watching and reading and listening to all the different opinions discussing Giant and Hercules, because I like Hercules. Omegas, you like Hercules, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
So Giant brings some interesting stuff to the table from what I've seen, and it's cool seeing the two of them next to each other, because it really solves that I think somewhat misperceived notion that Giant was going to be leagues smaller than Hercules. He's really not. He's like 2 inches smaller, and that's not that much, and he's like wider almost. So the thing that I've seen about Giant that Giant has over Hercules is that apparently Giant's combined form just kind of like comes together, not so much more solidly, although apparently it does due to all those spring-loaded buttons, but apparently it's also just like a little bit easier to manipulate, because that's the, one of the things about Hercules is he's enormous and he's decently poseable, but if he's on the wrong surface, it's really easy for him to start just very slowly sliding his legs apart. And apparently Giant's better at not doing that from what I've been reading, but I might have been reading the wrong posts. I'm really looking forward to Giant because I love G2 Devastator. That was my Devastator. So if I'm going to get a really slavish Devastator, I'd want it to be in G2 colors. That's like my nostalgia bone being satisfied. And it's interesting watching the debates between people who really want one of these to be better than the other one as well. There's a growing sentiment of people realizing that by the time someone has bought one of these, it's kind of pointless to try to draw sides, because clearly if you're drawing sides, it's because you want to feel better about spending multi-hundreds of dollars. But Omegas, as a Hercules owner, now that you've seen completed Giant, now that you've seen, or at least you're able to see, what all the robots and vehicles look like, how are you feeling about Giant currently as a Hercules owner?
Honestly, the last time I spoke about Giant, I had some issues with it, and most of those kind of persist. I personally don't prefer how much more complex his deco is. Mm. So many little things painted, so many little unnecessary logos all over it. I like that they went to that much trouble to add the detail, but I just think he looks a little too busy. Mm. And like I understand, like if you really want just a pure upgraded G1 Devastator, yeah, as true to the original as possible, that's probably the best way to go, because it's the transformation scheme is dead on. That said, I just like how Hercules handles it better.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because like Giant, at first I was like, I just don't know about the vehicles on the shoulders anymore now that I've seen how Hercules does it. The way that Giant does the arms is the only way that I'm able to really accept the vehicles on the shoulders design, that being the vehicles on the shoulders, like the arms beneath them are almost completely separate, and thus like posability at least is doable. Rage of Hercules is the other way to do it, which is just make his shoulders wider. But I don't know. It's an interesting talk. I'm really looking forward to seeing both of these side by side in hand over here. I think they both bring stuff to the table. I'm on the fence about how detailed I find Giant. I found that the fully stickered Hercules pushes that limit for me, but it ended up not pushing it as hard as I thought it would. So I'm sitting there just going like, do I want the stickers or not? But I am in the minority, I believe it's a minority, that myself and Omegas are in, which is we kind of like the just solid chunks of green and purple. Aaron, how are you feeling? As an almost Hercules owner, how are you feeling about Giant and or Hercules?
Eh. Hmm. I think I'm way past them at this point, so I can't appreciate them. I do like that Giant is about the same size as Hercules. I know a lot of people were calling one short and stupid, and it's like, well, not really, but at this point I am so far past them for my own financial sake that yeah, that's nice toy you got there.
Would it help at all if I bring them both to TFCon and rub them against you?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that would be enough.
No. Hmm. That would make me think that you're extremely weird. I mean, you beyond what we already know.
You have grown stronger, Mr. Aaron. You have grown stronger in will. I'll have to do something about this. Anyway, that's another chapter of third-party psychopathically enormous combiner teams now just freshly behind us. We all look forward to the future of Uranus and that silhouette that's on Make Toys' Facebook page, which totally looks like Computron. New pick picks. Let's let me play some music. Really calm, beautiful music. Guys, let us do a listener question. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
We've got one from a listener who is located on YouTube. His name is Oblivion's Left Hand. And his question is, quote, hello, Vangelis, and insert clever name for sidekicks here. I have two not as bizarre as before questions for you guys to answer, if you don't mind. Number one, What is the most bizarre thing you've ever seen done with a Transformer? It could be anything. Personality, alt mode, alignment. Example, Skylynx. He's an Autobot. A dinosaur? I think that's right. He has two separate alt modes. No real robot mode. Yeah, I love him, but generally find him to be really weird concept-wise. So that's what I'm asking, if any of that made sense to any of you at all. Because I think I lost myself in there. You did not, sir. Weird, bizarre stuff done with a Transformer. Omegas, what's a bizarre thing you've seen done with a Transformer?
I've had a Transformer give birth. That was weird when I went back to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, from Hasbro design-wise, I would go for the Beast Wars Mutants.
Hmm, that's a good answer, because those are... Well, I mean, technically we know why they're so weird, but they're still really weird.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, of course, they're supposed to be Animorphs. Yeah. Got it.
Which it's funny, because you say they're Animorphs, and the first reaction is, oh, okay, that explains it. Then you stop, and you're like, wait a second. When in Animorphs were they stuck as two animals?
Well, they did have... Well, the whole idea is they go from one animal to another, without even going back to being a human.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's roll with this. But now it's a Transformer, so... Okay, we'll put a robot head stuck somewhere in it, which is creepy when you flip up a panel and there's a head...
Help
there.
Me!
Yeah.
Kill me! And the creatures it would make, I mean, you've got alligators with these big hands, and, you know, barracuda and scorpions with colors that God never intended on.
Makes them more creative, at least. Like, that was the one little draw I found in the mutants, was like, there is no transforming toy, like, when they came out, like, many years ago. There is no transforming toy like this at all. And so that kind of made me interested in them. I never actually owned any of them, but I almost did.
I have two of them.
I have one of them hiding somewhere.
Yeah, they're quirky enough that should I ever get my hands on Razorclaw and Soundwave, I'd probably get them too. Just because they're such oddballs.
I think that when I decided to not devote time to chasing them down was when I made the decision, after serious actual deliberation, to not get the Animorphs Tri-Rex.
I got that one.
I was sitting there and I almost got it a few times and I was like, I've got to draw a line somewhere. And when I drew that line, I think it drew a line with the mutants as well.
The Tri-Rex, the Beast Mode is really cool, but the individual robots are ungodly.
They look so hilarious.
Yeah,
but good luck finding a place to keep them. They've got the worst kibble I've ever seen.
Oh, man. But, that is a very good answer. Aaron, what about you? What's a bizarre thing you've seen done with a Transformer?
Heinrad.
That's pretty... You guys are picking the easy ones, but I cannot deny that they're effective answers to this question.
There's something about a raccoon with giant testicles.
You had to say the word, didn't you?
Yes, that's medical. It's not like I said balls or nuts.
Okay, good.
Or any other thing that would take it past what I believe our language limit to be.
We have a language limit, yes.
Yeah, I'm not Canadian. I can mostly censor myself.
Oh, dear. I'm good at censoring myself.
Yeah. Well, we don't quite count you as Canadian.
Oh.
You're almost American. Almost.
Aside from my lack of wanting to become an actual American citizen.
Right.
I guess that makes me close. You guys have Heinrad, right?
I actually don't have a Heinrad.
What? Yeah.
I almost bought one with all the ones that showed up when the price...
Yeah, I was about to say, weren't there like 5 million $30 Heinrads on Big Bad Toy Store?
Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's a raccoon with giant testicles. I don't know if I really want to have to explain that to people.
I'm sitting here tapping the side of my face, kind of like staring into space right now. It's like...
Yeah.
I hate to say, I kind of don't have one either. It was one of those where it's up there with like Mach Kick, where it's like, I kind of want, it's on the list of maybe
$30 Heinrad.
Get around to it
after years of him being like $50 to $60.
Yeah. Still. Yeah.
Do you guys at least have Karada?
Yes, I've got a Karada.
Okay, good. Because if one of you said no, I was going to just flip this podcast over and we were going to start talking about Power Rangers. Like, that would... Because $15 Karadas were also on there. That would be... Was it even $15?
Still $13.49 to $15 stock.
Anyone out there, let me say it again, because we said this when these first showed up on Big Bad, but maybe you weren't listening then. If you don't have Karada, and you unless you live in some faraway country that will cost $30 to ship to, if you're an American citizen who is able to use Big Bad Toy Store and you don't have Karada, you have no excuse anymore. You have absolutely no excuse. Don't try to tell me you think Beast Wars are dumb, or you don't like snakes, or you think you look stupid. It doesn't matter. It's a requirement now. It's a fandom requirement.
And if you don't think he's pretty enough, go get the Telemoka version.
Hey, Karada!
Fine. To make you happy, Heinrad is in my pile of loot.
Thank you.
You happy?
Yes.
Okay. You see what people do to me?
I was just amazed. I was amazed. I mean, like, if anyone who was in the fandom in the early 2000s, you know, we all sat there going like, yeah, he's just a bit too expensive, but he's kind of cool. And finally, he's the clock. He's the alarm clock. Anyway, in my case, I think the most bizarre thing to happen with a Transformer was Sports Label. Label, it's not even so much like outright just the fact that it's shoes Transformers. I think it's just like every single intent behind Sports Label was so misguided.
I think all those labels were
special. Music label,
that great MP3 player that barely played MP3s.
Well, at least it was Soundwave and it made like conceptual sense.
It's an awesome deluxe Soundwave.
Yeah, and a total trash MP3 player. And of course, you know, Convoy with the iPod speakers again. Like music label and device label conceptually made sense, and as far as their delivery and price, everything was kind of like, it's too expensive and not quite engineered enough, but this feels like it makes sense and would be bought by the non-Transformer fan component of the target audience. Sports label made no sense, because I think it was aimed at, like, sport shoemaker loyalists.
I think
loyalists.
It was aimed at shoe people,
yeah.
And there are shoe people
there
out there.
There are shoe people, yeah. But the crossover between shoe people and people who want to buy a very expensive transforming toy it's not the same threshold or cross section you'd get from people who are into music or devices that would also think transforming robots are cool. All of that said, also, it was Optimus Prime and Megatron who don't just turn into shoes, but they turn into undersized shoes that nobody can wear.
Yeah, that's where it turned the corner.
Everything about Sports Label made no sense. And it felt like it was a boardroom meeting that the one person who was supposed to be there to tell them no, that person didn't show up. And then Sports Label happened. That said, I love Sports Label because it's so ludicrous. But,
yeah, whenever you do a Transformer line where the gimmick is you can really tie its laces, yeah, you've succeeded.
And that was one of the oddly cool parts. I was actually kind of annoyed. I was like, you guys should have put wires into the laces so we could pose them as, like, whips and stuff. Because that was kind of cool, like, having these huge, like, lassos on their bodies that you could, like, use as weaponry and stuff. I kind of like that part. But, yeah. I hope that answered the first question. We're on to question number two. Question number two. G1 High School. I feel like I've done this question already.
Yeah, continue reading it.
Hang on a second. I'm going to multitask. G1 High School. I heard those words in the podcast and thought there is so much potential there. So my question, if you can call it that, is, could you please elaborate? Okay, I didn't ask this question already. Could you please elaborate? Who would be teachers, students, and who would be the principal? What kind of classes do you think they'd have? What cliques do you think some of the characters might fall in? Do you think there'd be any Autobots or Decepticons who'd be friends under this non-war, more adolescent, angsty environment? Just for the sake of some good quality, do at least five characters as a group. Five each would be asking a lot. Just go buck wild. Thanks for answering my questions, though I think my second one ended up being weird again. Oh, well. My only wish is that your answers be entertaining and you always seem to deliver with gusto, OLH. The reason why I slowed down there was because I was reading through our organizational thread to see if I had already used this question, because it sounded really
familiar. I think at one point that was a comment that came out, was like, what would you like to see, G1 High School?
Okay. That makes sense, given that he says that he heard us say it on the podcast.
Yeah, that's why I said keep reading the question, but whatever.
I
you
was.
Went the long way.
I kept reading the question. Really, you know, methodically. So, G1 High School. Aaron.
I want to say the teachers, like, if you're doing it for a show, you wouldn't want the teachers to be Prime or Megatron, because those are going to be your leaders of the different cliques. So maybe have some of the off-brand, air quotes, leaders as the principals, like a Star Saber as a principal or the main teacher.
Can we have Morshower as the principal?
He'd be like the vice principal. He's Aww. The guy that's like the attendance guy.
Principal Bay and Vice Principal Morshower?
Sure.
All right.
That'll be horrible. Why not?
I like the idea of Principal Bay. He just doesn't care. Omegas, G1 High School.
See, I foresee this more along the lines of two rival schools, where you have your Optimus as the principal, and you know you have your weekly little hijinks where you know the gym teacher Grimlock has to coach the mini bots into the big football game against the Decepticons team, the Constructicons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have misadventures, you know, like that. Like, it's just such a weird concept to begin with. Like, there's easy stuff. There's easy. Reflectors is the entire photo club. That's easy.
I wanted to know who you guys think the stoners would be.
Rock Lords.
Oh,
Beachcomber.
Oh, God. Rock, stone. Keep going.
Beachcomber is the art student.
Yeah,
you can.
And
both.
What art students aren't stoners?
Hey, I was in the band and I wasn't a stoner.
Mm-hmm.
Band is art.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? How many other people in band are you sure were stoners by percentage?
Like at least 6 or 7%?
No,
or like
total?
Numbers.
Okay, what would that be roughly percentage? That's why I said percentage.
Were
you
in
a big band?
I don't remember how big our band
was. Did you have like
a
200-person strong marching band, or was it 10 people in band, and so 6 or 7 stoners is a significant number?
There were like maybe 30 of us total.
Okay.
Maybe? I'm trying to recall now. I mean, there's contact high, but that doesn't count. That's called being in the room with stoners.
That number's creeping up a little bit then.
Hey. Stay on topic, all right? G1 High School. Stay on topic, G1 High School. Stop thinking about stoners.
Trying to think of more classes. Like,
okay.
Okay, Cup is a history teacher. I think that's easy.
Who's the crazy kid that they all think is going to come to school with shotguns?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Warpath.
He is such a jock. Don't even...
Bam! Pow! Pow! I'm just saying for the...
Jock.
For the,
you don't
for
the jock.
Yeah, but for the Tourette's and just always... No, bam! Pow! Boom! He's the guy that's... He's not quite all there, and he's talking with explosive words.
He's the crazy guy that they let join this football team because he's really strong and thus good at football. And they all just keep treating him with kid gloves and don't invite him to parties or anything.
That's why he's coming in with a shotgun.
Well, no, he's not aware of parties because he doesn't know what they are.
No, the one that does that is always the kid that gets picked on the most. So with that one, I think you'd have to go with Wheelie.
He'd be that guy that's somehow friends with everybody and nobody knows why. Like that guy that when you were in high school, you were the only person who wanted to kick that guy's ass, but everyone else was buddies with that guy, so you just sucked it up and pretended to be friends with him too. Surely you know the guy I'm talking about. Maybe I had a different high school experience. I don't know. Maybe I was that guy. Oh, no. Other high school stuff. Who has promiscuous premarital sex?
There's only one female.
Okay, strike that question from the record.
Yeah, I've had to deal with some of that today.
Sorry, you know where that came from? It's because I was just asking Aaron all about what was going down in the Prime Forum today, and never mind.
Be aware of what you're posting. God. Always, not just in the Prime Forum, right. Anywhere.
Okay,
if you say, "Hey, you should go and do this," do that first, and then take a look at it and go, "Oh, geez, do I really want to be sharing this with the world?" And if the answer's no, or don't post it. There's your friendly tip for today.
I love drawing this out of him. This is so fun.
Yeah. Okay, who's the lunch lady?
Striker.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
She would be the lunch lady and the nurse. It'd be one of those schools where they're both the same person.
I just see her as the lunch lady with the maybe not cigarette in the mouth since you can't do that anymore, but something similar. She's like,
smart
what?
Plug.
It's what there is. And just like glop, flop onto the tray. There you go. What is it?
Gooey Energon pile.
I was going to ask, what's the fast food joint that's right outside of the school? Because that's what it's like at high schools.
Unless you went to high school in a field like I did.
Well, it's G1 high school, so probably McAdams.
I thought McAdams was a bar.
Yeah, McAdams.
Well, it's G1 high school.
Oil house.
McAdams is
so
the place.
McAdams is like McDonald's.
No, McAdams is where they sneak to when they're trying to get their underage drinking in. Speaking of which, who do you think is the biggest party animal? Who's the underage drinker? Who's the one who gets everyone else tainted?
Blur. He's got to be on something.
No, Blur's the guy's buddy. Blur's the buddy of the guy who gets everyone tainted, because Blur's the first one he ruined.
Blaster.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's just walking, he's all like, yo! I'm Buster Jones! Oh, sorry. Walk on. I think we've named at least 5 people.
Yeah.
I want to say. So, I hope that answered your question sufficiently, Oblivion's left hand. We are running a short show today, so we're gonna already take a quick break, and then we're just gonna come back, talk about some stuff we got this week, and just make it a shorty, because me and Aaron and Omegas all have stuff to do tomorrow.
And it's already almost midnight.
Yeah, so we're going to pull this off. We are going to pull this off.
We're copping out on you guys, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
If you got a problem, we'll refund all your money.
Yeah, we're sorry to cut you short on the Anniversary 204 episode.
If you'd like to launch any complaints, please go to the Transformers Prime sub forum and start a thread calling out Aaron.
Sure, I'll just... No, because that would mess everything up. I won't bat it to the podcast forum because that messes up our timeline stuff.
Exactly. You can't bot it. Yeah. It'll show up in there. That's right. You're not allowed to do that. I only laugh because nothing else makes me smile. We'll be right back. Hey, so we just rode the DeLorean a day into the past. Myself and Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Yes. Yeah. 88 miles an hour.
Yeah. We woke up this morning to see a whole bunch of pictures of the Masterpiece stuff that earlier in this episode we were vaguely talking about, and we looked at each other and we were like, no, screw this. And we decided to step back into the past because we were going to record today anyway. So, hey, it's fair. And less than 12 hours had transpired. So I was like, this is too much.
We
so,
take backsies on this.
Exactly. I have a quick take back, so I just want to throw in there. At some point in this episode, I know it was during the listener question, I talked about Sports Label being so dumb and so weird and so funny and so dumb. And hey, guess what? They're going to make Transforming Baseball caps. So there's a fun little end cap on that one. I like the proportions. I don't know. I don't want to... They're probably good. Well, no, they're retailing for less than what the shoes cost. So, you know, props. But the main reason we're here is because they revealed... like, the gamut on all the Masterpiece toys. And all we had to work with was, like, the color e-hobby Sideswipe photos. First up, a little bonus coverage on Sideswipe. If you get him somehow from Amazon Japan, they're going to give you his jackhammers, not his pile drivers, but his longer, more silver-chromey jackhammers from the episode Dinobot Island Part 1. So that's a new mold, completely new bonus piece to replace his hands if you get him off Amazon Japan. I don't know if I want to go to the trouble of getting a middleman to get him off Amazon Japan just to get those pile drivers, but I'm not going to lie that a sick part of me is thinking about it.
Yeah, I've got the feeling that that's going to be a bit of an upcharge because you're having to middleman it.
It will be. That will...
for what looks like two quickly molded things that any sort of not first party group...
yeah.
Wink, wink. Could do something similar for $5 total, or maybe $10 if you want it really nicely chromed.
There are two pieces that I know if I actually spend the extra probably $15 to $25 to get a hold of, I will put them on once and feel like a badass and then never use them again.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to just bite my lip and not do it. But that's a little update on Sideswipe. Amazon Japan is also saying that if you get Soundwave off of them, they'll give you extra Energon cubes, which again is something that's like, oh, two more Energon cubes, that would be nice, but that's going to be a premium for something that's kind of even less interesting.
Yeah.
It's just more of what you get with Soundwave. Before we talk about Soundwave, I want to say they also revealed pictures of the prototype for Masterpiece Red Alert, who is more remolded than I thought he'd be. His vehicle mode obviously just has the light bar on top, but for his robot mode, they actually made new shoulders with fake tires on them so he looks more like the cartoon. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, that's... I like what's going on with Masterpiece more and more.
Yeah, and someone... a lot of people have checked. I forgot who said it first on Twitter, but someone checked the Transformers height chart from, I think, one of the Generations books, and Sideswipe is perfectly matched to MP10 Convoy according to that height chart. So it looks like Masterpiece is going nutso cartoon accuracy now,
right,
which I think is okay, because that's a way to get me more interested in this stuff, because that makes it less like it's just more expensive Generations to me.
Right.
It also means it's hyper slavish, which means it's going to actually, I think it's going to lose some people because slavish G1 has become more and more out of fashion with folks, but...
What I do like and what I hope this leads to also isn't that they try and match for a price point.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to be, okay, MP10 is our height, so everything else that we do is going to be based on this. So we want to do this character. How tall does he end up being? What has it got to be a masterpiece in terms of transformation and gimmicks and whatnot? Okay, mm-hmm. That's what's going to set the price. And if they can run it that way, it'll be maybe easier to deal with some of the higher priced oddball things, because it's like, no, it all lines up. It's not like they just went, oh no, all of them are $80 or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, this is deserving of the price point.
Yeah. I feel really good about the direction they're going in, because I think it's way more interesting than more one-off just high-end Transformers. Those are fun, but to unify it to this degree and in this way, I think it's kind of like, All right, Masterpiece was already a very slavish, nostalgia-driven line. They're just going whole hawk into that, and it feels like it's like you said, it's going to actually, as a unifying element, it might make the line more interesting and maybe even a bit less crazy to get into, because you'll have, like, if they do a Masterpiece like Cliff Jumper, he'll be tiny, and then if they do a Masterpiece, you know, taller guy, like, I don't know, Trailbreaker or something, he might be more expensive, but at least it'll be like, they're not going to try to figure out how to make Cliff Jumper cost as much as Trailbreaker or Optimus Prime. So that's kind of exciting. And also just little things like, I thought Red Alert would just be a straight repaint, and doing those new shoulders is a really nice little, just a little bit of extra effort that makes me 100 times more interested, oddly enough.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's not the Skywarp, Thundercracker, Starscream repaints that they got different faces.
And the none of the faces ever looked all that different aside from the mouth.
Yeah, it was like he's smirking out of the left corner, not the right corner, so it's obviously a different face.
His mouth is slightly open. Now his mouth is slightly open and full of teeth.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the star, though. This is the big thing. They just dumped photos of the prototype of Masterpiece Soundwave. So now we know just everything.
All over everything.
Yeah, like, we don't know the gimmicks per se, but, okay, he's cartoon 80s Soundwave. He in robot mode, he's Soundwave. He turns into a tape deck. He has laser beak. He comes with Energon cubes. This is a very G1 Soundwave. So all my little theories of, like, maybe he'll turn into something weird and different. Nope. And the
not at all.
The level they went for it with him, I'm okay with that. It's kind of cool because his tape player mode is now, like, it's there's a lot more around the tape deck area, or, you know, the cassette area. There's more stuff, which does look more cartoon accurate, and that does mean that in his robot mode, his chest is a little bit more well-proportioned. The other cool thing about that is he comes with this cassette. It turns into laser beak, and we're like, yeah, whatever, laser beak. Why is laser beak going to cost $20? Like that discussion we just had earlier this episode.
Yeah.
Then we see how laser beak transforms and how, like, all of his accessories transform out of the same mass as the cassette. And now I'm like, oh, that's why laser beak might have cost some money. Okay.
Yeah, I will shut my damn mouth on that.
I'm also looking at this going like, I feel like my hypothesis of a cassette having about $15 to $20 of engineering on a Masterpiece level feeling a bit less crazy.
Yeah.
If they're going to go that... Like, I did not think they were going to have his friggin' guns, jetpack things come out of that same mass.
Yeah, they're kind of stumpy in comparison to the chrome bling ones that go on the G1 tapes, but it's there, and it looks like it's got pivot points for it. It all folds up into a tape.
Yeah. Some people figured that if that laser beak is the same size as a G1 cassette, which maybe, but I think it might be a bit bigger. If it's that small, this sound wave is also 2 inches taller than G1 sound wave. Like, some people figured out the height already, and that size already works pretty well. If it's a little bit bigger and he's a little bit taller, that's cool. It means that it seems like they're still running with that cool unified robot scale. If it's already G1 Soundwave plus 2 inches, that's what, 8 or 10 inches tall, somewhere in that realm.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And this is not all, because I thought this was it. I was like, holy crap, Aaron, we're going to talk about some gray resin prototype Soundwave. We then got a color photo of a complete Masterpiece Soundwave all painted up. His colors all look pretty much spot on, excellent, perfect. It looks really, really good in this faraway shot, admittedly. We can also see that they are including, it looks like a different tape cassette door for his chest. I guess perhaps it's either to hide the Decepticon symbol, or maybe it has something to do with the Energon cubes. He comes with a Megatron gun. He's got his battery weapons. There's a cassette case for Laserbeak, and it's done up in this, it looks like it's the same color as those data disc cases for the new cassette robots coming out in the War for Cybertron style.
Yeah.
But then you look in the back and check it out. There's Ravage and Frenzy, according to the name card.
That are for future release.
Sometime.
Or for potential future release or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a notice saying they will be available sometime in 2013. Along with another gray prototype Laserbeak, or perhaps Buzzsaw, who knows. You know that theory I just had earlier this episode about multi-pack things, you know, cassettes, either for redecos of Soundwave or just to be sold as packs?
Yeah.
Now imagine, They have, if you pretend there's a buzzsaw, they have a buzzsaw, Ravage, and a Rumble Frenzy. Double up Rumble and Frenzy, there's four cassette robots.
Yeah.
Set four packs, maybe.
That, or it's with Sound Blaster, you get Ravage.
And then with White Noise Soundwave, you get Rumble. And with Shattered Glass Soundwave, you get Frenzy. And
you hear 1,000 fanboys screaming out in pain.
So that might be the case. That would not be as fun. I'm going to quietly cross my fingers that the idea of Masterpiece cassette multipacks at something closer to the Sideswipe price point are... I'm gonna tell myself that they're not impossible, that that's a potential, because everything is lining up in a way where that is not a crazy idea anymore. And seeing that they pretty much, like, they have prototyped two more entirely new molds, one of which is Rumble and Frenzy. There are pile drivers for him right behind him.
Yeah.
Like, man. I don't know what to, like, I'm kind of excited. Like, this is the old, like, the younger me, the younger Transformers fan me, like, rising up out of my throat and seeing all this stuff and, you know, all this G1 slavish stuff that I thought maybe I was over. No, I'm not over it. I'm not over it at all. This gets me right in the gizzard. He can push his own eject button!
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been talking a whole lot because it's kind of late and I'm rambly, but Aaron, have at it.
Yeah, I was kind of hesitant with the price because I've got my $100 magic breaking point that, for whatever reason, that's $99. Okay, $100. Well, you know what? I'm really upset I didn't get on the big bad pre-order before the price change to save myself that extra $10, because I'm a cheapskate and also because I really want this toy.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I'm staring at all the pre-orders. I think I might do one on Automaton.
This is one that I might hold off until we know more of what's going on with the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is one I could see hitting. The problem with Lambor and the like is that I've heard mention of the Lamborghini licensing.
Mm-hmm.
May make a significant issue in the U.S.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Because of licensing. So
yeah.
I'm fine keeping the pre-order on him, on Lambor. But, Soundwave still, that's a lot of money. But at the same time, I also kind of don't want to wait to get it in the U.S. because who knows when it's going to happen.
And, hey, guess what? A lot of people think Soundwave is pretty cool. I dare say more people think Soundwave is cool than people think Optimus Prime is cool.
Yeah.
I think... For safety's sake, at least at an easily cancelable site, I'd say just get a pre-order in on this guy if you have any interest in Soundwave. If you don't care about G1 Soundwave, then you're better off than the rest of us because we are all slaves to this right now. This is too pretty.
Yeah.
And so now we have a look at what Masterpiece will be in 2012. We've seen at least prototypes for all three releases.
Yeah.
So overall, how are you feeling about the look of the Masterpiece lineup and where it's gone since MP10?
Bravo.
Mm-hmm. It's really a succinct way to put it.
Yeah.
I can't disagree. This is a great direction. Could they have picked someone more interesting than Sideswipe as a character? Yeah, perhaps. Could they have picked a more interesting design of a car? Maybe. Is there one as easily repaintable? For sure. They could have gone Prowl. Maybe the Lamborghini deal was just easier to set up. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
I think... This is part of also what they've needed, because they could do another Starscream, they could do another Megatron, they could do some of those others, but I think that there's a fatigue level as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at a certain point they got to say, okay, well, let's do somebody else. And doing something that can be repainted is going to help them with costs. And then, you know, hey, maybe there are some Red Alert fans out there that are really crazy.
There are crazy Red Alert fans out there.
They can have their fun.
I've seen them tweeting. I'm not going to lie. I think Red Alert's awesome. I've always liked Sideswipe's colors more because a pretty red sports car does kind of win me over really easy.
Yeah.
But as a character, Red Alert, I always have loved. I like crazy Transformers. So, I mean, I'm... And I'm looking forward to the first... Oh, and I think... sorry, I just wanted to add in. I think Red Alert has a new head. Yeah, he does. Red Alert has a new head as well. I look forward to the...
No, same head, completely new shoulders.
Oh, no, he's got different ears.
Yeah.
Red Alert's ears are different from Sideswipe's as well.
Okay.
And technically, his shoulder cannon's on the other shoulder, but I don't know if that really stands for anything or not. So, yeah, the shoulder cannon looks like it's just a removable piece. But that's moot, because, man, I'm just looking forward to the first third-party company who makes sparks to attach to Red Alert's head for when he has his, like, mental breakdowns and sparks start coming out of his head.
Yeah.
I am really into this. I think this is a great direction. I really hope they can stick it out this time, that this will last and, like... I wonder if their game plan is let's do that thing that all the fanboys want. Let's just have at the 84-85 lineup. I mean, granted, if you're going to say they already did it in Generations, they did. But Masterpiece is a name. Masterpiece is something that they want to keep existing. And so far, it looks like this is what Masterpiece needs to do to rejuvenate itself a little bit. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Of course, we're gonna have to wait and see. I'm gonna be eagerly awaiting the eHobby photos for Red Alert and Soundwave. Soundwave especially, because it's so weird with Soundwave. All he does is he turns into a box. And whenever I think about him like that, I get less interested. But then I just look at his robot silhouette, I look at like a well done Soundwave, I look at whether or not he can just look like a creepy communications officer. If he has interesting little buddy robots to go with him, and they're hitting all those marks. The only thing about Soundwave that I'm not feeling good about right now is it looks like he uses the Energon style hips for forward hip rotation. He's got that cut into the thighs to move his legs forward. I have never really dug that, and it looks like that's going to be something they're doing for the sake of maintaining his silhouette. I'll get over it, but that was the first con that I saw in the guy's design, and I don't think it's going to...
Oh, I get it. Yeah, because he's a... Allergy meds. Sorry.
It's all right. Anyway, I think we've talked a whole lot about the Masterpiece guys. We should let the podcast get back to being the podcast, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
This is where we talked about what we got this week. That was okay, I guess.
Yeah, well, next time will be better.
Oh, man. Yeah, because next time you... Friggin' art. I saw the evacs.
Yeah.
I saw the spoiler for the what we got this week.
Right, what we didn't... Spoiler for what we didn't get this week.
Now prepare to hear Aaron be cagey about what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to your regularly scheduled podcast. Vangelis, back over to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back lightning fast. We are going to do some what we got this week, and then we're all going to go to bed and get up early and then do whatever it is we're doing. So, I'm going to open up by asking you, Aaron, what you got this week?
On topic, the only thing I got, and I didn't bring him up here, is I pulled
a
Viacon.
Didn't that just give us a chance to pause and...
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
It is actually down, kind of on display in front of the TV, which is why it's not up here.
Oh.
But, Viacon.
Bastard.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it is the Walmart that is very close to Geronimus's job. And it was one that he had checked, I think he said 13 out of 14 days over the last 2 weeks. And then I went in and was like, Viacon, okay. He was slightly irate with me, but...
I was about to say, I don't need to say anything because I'm sure Jared can deal with you then.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I kind of felt bad, but not a whole lot. It's Viacon-y goodness. I was momentarily thinking, well, I'll go ahead and cancel my pre-orders, and then the more that I fiddled with them, I'm like, I may need to pre-order some more. Ha 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 ha. But definitely agree with GOG's sentiment of this is the better Viacon. I like some of the things the first edition does, but the RID one with the accordion former legs of it's amazing. It's something I'm almost surprised hasn't been done before.
Yeah,
because it's something that's you know, after the fact, you're like, oh, well, wow, that really works. Why has nobody done it before?
And you're like, this makes total sense.
Yeah. It's something that I almost wonder if it was somebody was working on that and was like, wait a second, what if we did this? And then he like had to run around the office. Oh my god!
Eureka!
Had a piece of paper and yeah, or if it was totally the Eureka moment, stands up in the bathtub, stumbles out, cracks his head, invents some sort of time travel device.
I forgot that's how they invented time travel.
Yeah. But I'm very, very, very impressed by it. As if this needs to be said, if you can find it, get it.
I think everyone already is.
Yeah, I think that idea is out there. So I will just contribute to it. And beyond that, I've not gotten anything else Transformer this week. Was hoping to have an evac. Like I said, and otherwise it's been, I'm pretty much caught up.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Let me tell you about my Transformer situation. Let me just look over here for a second. Nope! Still nothing new in Canada, so I'm just holding that for a hero till the end of the night. Omegas, what about you? Did you Transformers it this week?
Barely. My area is still completely barren. Wave 2 is as far as I can reach. And I have a convention coming up, so I can't afford to have anything big expensive come in or, you know, order outlandishly expensive via cons, despite how worth it they seem to be.
I'm biting my lip and like going like, I am not going on eBay. I'm not going on eBay. I'm waiting. I'm going to wait until I get a Viacon in some kind of proper fashion. Then I'll go and whore it out on eBay.
Yeah, eBay still is real pricey with Viacons.
Getting better, but still.
We gotta sit back and remember there's a revision with two of them per box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
That's what I'm holding that for.
Yeah. So, only a couple things this week. One of them was the Legion Bumblebee, just so I could have the main cast in itty-bitty form. Mm-hmm. Who is nice? He's pretty typical Bumblebee though.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his Legion toy for some reason. It does enough to make me go like, this one's not as good as these other ones. I forgot what it was specifically.
Well, for me it's the stiff arms and legs. You just really can't do as much with them as you can the others.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of a letdown, and for the most produced character of all time, that's really getting to be a bad thing.
I want more cliff jumpers.
Where did that go? Who engineered him?
Somebody just walked in like, hey, you guys want to try this? Everybody just looks down and looks back up, looks back down. Son of a...
No, they look at him, they look down, they look back up, and he's disappeared. That's what happened. Man, they need to get that... Whoever that was, he's in charge of Cyberverse now. Man.
Apparently, I need to redact my statement. Apparently, the prices have gotten slightly more reasonable for Viacons. There are some auctions that have ended at as little as $28 and then shipping.
Yeah, I knew it. Because I thought I'd seen the Viacons get below the $30 barrier at some auctions. And, that's still too expensive for me right now,
right.
But someday, if I don't eventually get the ones I want, you know, a year and a half, 2 years from now, I might end up, if I'm still looking, that's going to be me. Yeah, $30, that's a good price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only other Transformer-related thing I got this week was the Kabaya Gaia Guardian.
Oh!
No!
How is that?
There's a few advantages, a few disadvantages. I mean, the main disadvantage being they're still Kabaya candy toy kit quality, even though they're much smaller. So it kind of magnifies some of those little problems that they have. There's a few loose arms. There's a few things that don't go together as flush as you would like, that kind of thing. Which you'd expect out of tiny candy toy kits like this. What I do like about them is that the four, well, actually five out of the six have no part forming at all.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So they're solid little recreations. It's funny that it's obviously cheaply done as they are. There are improvements over the G1 Protectobots.
I had caught that on Twitter and I was curious about it.
It makes a fascinating little set. I say that. The only one that really irks me the most is Streetwise, because while his transformation I kind of like, because it's a little bit more involved than his G1 toy, there's a hideous amount of stickering on him. And it's that kind of stickering where the paper and the plastic don't quite match up. So he's a cop car, but a reconditioned, refurbished cop car.
Yeah.
He's been in an accident before. But, I don't know, they're still okay. I mean, they'd be a BotCon or TFCon pickup, if you just see him lying around.
Yeah.
The Drill, the new one, is actually nice. I like him.
Hmm.
The Jet's the only one that's, he's the only one that requires a little bit of part forming.
The Drill doesn't?
No, the Drill is the one that.
Oh, okay.
The only one that has part
forming. One of the torso replacement pieces, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one being the Jet. And that one's probably the most disappointing because the Jet's just kind of a Jet. And robot mode, no arm articulation at all, since that's where the arms plug in for Imitation Superion, or Imitation Defensor.
Okay. How is the combined mode stuff with it? Does it look interesting?
The combined mode is... the combined mode works.
Okay.
I mean, there's a few oddities because of the replacement characters. The Drill makes very, very scrawny hips, for instance. But he's not bad in combined mode. I mean, it's this really weird amalgamation, but it kind of works in some weird way.
Hmm.
It would definitely be a lot better if I actually had the Hotspot figure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, do not. It really was meant to go with them, and it's really kind of obvious. Even if you just look at the sticker detail of the two replacements, they are vastly different from the ones that are on the actual Protectobots.
Mm.
So you can tell pretty easily that these just weren't meant to be here.
They are nice on my TFCon shopping list because I do have the Hotspot, and I kind of want to try them out.
Should bring Hotspot with. Or over, I guess. It's not like with, it's a long distance.
Yeah. Bring Hotspot with you on the bus until you get to the building.
Well, he can bring Hercules and Giant, but I don't know about Hotspot.
Hotspot's pretty big, man.
Yeah.
You're asking for way too much out of me now. But aside from the Gaia Guardian, is that your Transformers thing for this week?
Do you never hear me?
I just like asking it. It's become kind of like a security thing. Like, I know the world's all at rest. Would you recommend if I do find Gaia Guardian for how much did you pay for it?
Undisclosed. But
oh, it's in a case of 10.
For the retail, I'd say it's okay if you've got Hotspot. You're probably gonna do well.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of want to track him down at TFCon. I'm gonna have to remember the price. I always get surprised by the price of the case of 10. So, because it's always lower than I think it's going to be.
Yeah, well, they are much smaller than your typical Kabaya kits, so.
Yeah.
Things to account for.
Those are the ones that you always see wrapped as a set of six with a little window cut out of the bottom corner. So, I think
right.
At BotCon, they were wanting 30 or 35.
Hmm.
Maybe.
That's pretty much what a box of 10 costs, though.
Yeah, well, because they're having to buy a box of 10, get 6 out of it, and hold 4 for another box of 10 to get 6 out of.
Right.
So 30-ish would be my price range to aim for.
Most likely, yes.
Okay. Excellent! I have something to do at TFCon. Aside from try to find a good deal on this Power Core Limbs TFC toys did, because those look really fun. But they're like $80.
Yeah.
Well, that's our on-topic, what we got this week. The drought, for me, in Canada, is still going on. We're still waiting for Wave 3 and whatnot. Maybe it'll be here soon. I did get some off-topic stuff, though, and I'm going to start off, because I want to. I went walking around the other day after I saw Prometheus. Walked around with my roommate a bit. We went to a Future Shop, and he goaded me into buying two of those Mega Bloks blind packs, because I was like, I want Cortana. And I was like, I think this one's like feels like Cortana. And he's like, it feels like the Master Chief and the Arbiter, because he had no idea what was in them. So I found two that felt like, oh yeah, it feels like there's no real accessories in here. I bought them. Little did I know that all my feeling up of parts was completely wasted, because the minifigures are disassembled into their limbs, torso, and head, which means that the bags all feel almost identical unless it's a really fat character or has a giant gun. So I did not get Cortana. In fact, I got two of the least rare figures in the entire set. I got the little green marine guy, and I got the red alien pilot man. And I did realize, you know, I was looking at them, I was like, wow, I keep forgetting how much nicer Mega Bloks minifigures are than Lego minifigures. Because they have, like, ball-jointed shoulders and hips, and they have elbows and knees, and a ball-jointed neck and a waist joint, and a gun.
Don't need that in your miniature figures.
I like it in my miniature figures. So I've once again decided I got it. It's always every couple months, if not like every year or two. I'm like, I'm going to try blind packs. And then I like try it. And I'm like, nah. And I forget about it for a while. And then something gets me to try it again. I also got a package in the mail. Inside the package was a card. Well, it was a green envelope. The green envelope said :P. And there's a card inside that said, I'm sorry. Inside the card says, hope you can forgive me. That's the printed card. The handwritten part was :D. So what happened is Random Factor on Twitter had spotted a black-suited Cobra Commander. And I just, for some reason, in downtown Toronto, Cobra Commander and the Cobra Troopers just never were here. So I was like, hey, if you still see that black-suited Cobra Commander, you want to can you pick that up for me and I'll pay you back? So I get it in the box. So one of the things in the box was the black-suited Cobra Commander, who's neat. He's the new G.I. Joe Retaliation Cobra Commander from the movie that's no longer happening this year. And he looks really cool. I like the black suit more than the blue suit. I saw the blue suit at a comic shop for $15, and I saw the blue suit once in Rochester. I might pick it up if I see it again, but I just think the black suit looks cooler. It's not like an amazing toy. You know, he gets all the basic stuff done. His legs apparently are quite loose on most copies of him. And he's got a big crazy snake stick. But the other thing in the box, which I think was the reason for that card, was apparently something that basically Random Factor was like, oh man, I should throw something else in this box. Oh, this. So he threw in, it's on a small blister pack. It's a character from some show I've never seen called Rainbow Dash, and I don't know what to do with it.
Oh god.
It's got like, I haven't opened it because I don't really know how to play with these things, but it's got like hair and a duck and a suitcase and stickers, and I'm not sure what to do. I'm thinking like my good friend and life counselor Kryn is coming over on Friday night, and I might just ask her like, hey, what do I do with this? Do you have any ideas? And we'll figure something out. We might wrap it in Kesha tape or something. I don't know, but. I have one of these now. The packaging's a lot like G.I. Joe packaging. That's the first thing I thought when I looked at it. That's all I got.
So just a ton of guns packed into it then.
Well, if by guns you mean sticker sheets and a suitcase. Like, what are you supposed to do with all the stickers?
Put them on things.
Stickers don't look like they're relevant to anything in the package.
That's all right. You put it on your notebook or on your phone or on your laptop.
Oh, man, I could put these on my laptop. I didn't think about it. And what's the duck for? Like, there's a listing on the back, and the duck is literally just called duck. That's all it is. Why does
you
this...
need a reason for a duck?
Why does the toy come with a duck?
Just be thankful you got a duck.
Is it like a rubber ducky?
No, it's like a white duck that's looking somewhat up and looks like it's having a good time. Also, this toy has, like, real hair, and I never know what to do with toys with real hair, so I'm kind of freaked out. So I'm
you comb it.
How?
With a comb.
The toy does not include a comb.
Then comb it with the duck.
The duck is not a sufficient comb. The duck is a whole bunch of flat, round surfaces.
You're obviously not using it right.
I don't know. Apparently, part of another reason for this was to give Cobra Commander a sufficient mount. So I do need to bust it out at some point to team up with Cobra Commander. But anyway, that's all I got this week. That was my week. I opened up a couple Star Wars toys that I got and hadn't opened. I think I talked about one of them already, but I opened up that Darth Vader, like the new vintage collection Darth Vader. That is a good toy. If you see that toy, it's the one that's VC like a high number, not VC a low number. It's well worth it. It's I think the best 3¾-inch Darth Vader I've ever seen. The cape actually hangs heavily on him, and it's like a small, tiny, like soft goods cape. So highly recommended. But Aaron, I want you to tell me what you got off topic.
One thing that I didn't quite get, but I did want to talk about on topic, kind of, sort of. I got to assemble somebody's pinball machine.
Oh, a Stern Transformers pinball machine. Did that come with a duck?
No. Oh. It ended up coming with some muscle strain, though. Pinball machines, believe it or not, are heavy.
Shut up.
And a friend and co-worker and board member who's local, which I'm not sure if he wants his name out there, so it's not going to happen, is also a pinball guy. And he had said back in the day, if they ever make a Transformers pinball, I'm going to get one. Lo and behold, they did. And he decided, well, drat, I had said that. So after work one day, went and disassembled the box that it comes in, because it comes in a big old cardboard box, and then had to basically carry it all the way around his house to get it in the house. Pinball machines are heavy. Did I say that before?
You mentioned it offhand.
Because they're heavy.
Well, you didn't carry the box or anything, did you?
No, okay, no, good. because it was like a cardboard box. By stripping the cardboard box, we saved maybe 3 pounds.
I thought the box needs like a skid to be moved around.
Yeah, because the pinball machine inside of the box with the packing, with like the foam and the plastic bag things, if you've ever seen stuff packaged like that, that's all very light and secures it into the box that's secured to a pallet. And then it was two lugs trying to maneuver this thing through a backyard to bring it in a back door. Heavy pinball machine. And I had probably 10 or so people, because I tweeted a picture of, hey, look what I'm doing this evening with the Stern Pinball Transformers LE. And everybody was freaking out, including a couple people here, thinking that I had gotten that. And I had to calm people down.
That's what you get for tweeting cryptic pictures.
Yeah, I know. I had to calm people down off the ledge and let them know that. But
I'm never winning what we got this week again.
Yeah, and it's really cool to get to play a pinball machine on free play.
Mm-hmm.
Or to have the key to just pop it open and start changing settings. Because, I mean, we had to assemble everything. We had to assemble and set the preference for the tilt sensor. For the plumb bob that's on the inside of it that measures tilt. So, got a great insight into pinballing machines as the first what we got that also came along with muscle strain. Because pinball machines are heavy.
I think that the pinball collectors, I find their whole hobby fascinating. I think it's really cool.
Yes, I got a toe into a pond that was deep and crazy and wonderful.
Yeah, like seeing the unboxing of a pinball machine when you're like you open up parts of it and that's where they stick the manual, that's where they stick the key, that's where they stick all. You have to open up the glass on top to set up all the weird little gimmicks inside the thing. Like it's really cool watching the balls get loaded in too.
Yeah,
like. There's really cool aspects to it. They, like, a lot of the stuff, there's, you know, this is reminding me about that guy on YouTube, Spida1A, like Spida1A. That dude likes pinball machines and Transformers. Yeah. I talked about him before. There's also, like, some guy, Seth,
something. Yeah, Seth. I think I know who you're talking about.
Seth.
He made that so-so video?
The one about the pinball machine. mm-hmm. that wasn't his, that he played. It was on the front page of TFW, you know. It got like a couple million views. It's out there somewhere.
But ended up getting the first high score on the table.
Ooh.
And it was funny because he was telling me, like, you know, all the pinball tricks of when you got to try and hit it to keep it from slipping back behind the bumpers and to, you know, how to do this and that and the other thing. And he and I were consistently scoring about equally. And then I had one round where I just smoked him and he was like, I wonder what I'm doing. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just flipping and keeping it in. And he just looks at me and just goes, shut up. So it was 2 or 3 days. And then finally I got a text message with a picture back saying, okay, look, your score's gone. Take that. I was like, okay, well, you have it in your house. So good job. Yeah.
Because this isn't leaving, beat it. Like doesn't mean, what do you mean, beat it?
It doesn't mean he beat it. He might have just reset the machine.
Well, yeah, yeah.
No,
I mean, like,
no, it was a higher score. Mine was 24 million and his was 29 million. So.
Oh, I thought he just deleted it.
No, no. because I had joked about that and he said, no, because that's a valid score.
Because I'm sure that, like, going into someone else's house and maintaining the high score on their pinball machine is like walking into someone's living room and just peeing on their couch.
Yeah.
Like, this is mine now.
Especially if it's a pinball guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you must have... He must have been playing a lot of pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet like I said, it was totally a freak thing. I got a couple of skids and mud flap multi-balls in a row. So I was, like, flipping 4 ball. And it's amazing how, you know, it's easy enough as long as you're paying attention and your pinball doesn't slip behind and fall down the chute behind everything. But as soon as you have 4 pinballs going, your focus goes from being watching what everything's doing to just in front of the flippers and going crazy. This isn't a pinball podcast.
I like how you don't own a pinball machine and you got one high score and you're like, it's all about you know, keeping your eye on the ball, making sure it doesn't go behind those channels.
Paying attention. And it's amazing how you find how quickly your total attention pool kind of dries up when it goes from being one thing to pay attention to 4 things to pay attention to bouncing every friggin' where.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have any pinball questions, you know, make sure you go to the Transformers Prime forum. Yeah. and get a hold of Aaron. You'll be all set to go. Note, if you actually do this and end up getting an infraction or something, it's not my fault. It's your fault for being weird. Just saying. And technically, it's Aaron's fault for infracting you, but
that's well, not... the Lumpy's in there too now. I'm
oh really?
No longer. Very shortly after I became,
I am a lot less intrigued now. You have help?
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Give Lumpy a vacation. It's real easy. You scroll down to the bottom and you see moderators too.
Give Lumpy a vacation.
Yeah, he just went on vacation.
There you go. Good job. I'm glad you listened to me.
As far as actually off topic things, I got a whole whack of Lego and at the same time found a critical weakness of my roommate.
Hmm.
That being Lego.
You got him hooked on that garbage crack as well?
He was already hooked on it and managed to get himself away from it.
Do you mean kits or do you mean minifigures?
Kits.
That is not trash crack. Kits are... That's high-end, like, that's well-cut, so, shiny diamond crack.
The story comes from the Lego Sopwith Camel, which was an awesome build. Came out the first of the month, and I went to, you know, road trip, let's go. And so we went down to Indianapolis, about hour-long drive that turned into an hour and 45 due to construction. So we get to the Lego store, and he actually starts looking physically ill. As we're in the Lego store, he's like, "Aaron, we gotta go. Aaron, we gotta go. I can't. We gotta go." And
I can't be in here.
So I was kind of looking around a little bit and had one of the Lego store people come up, very friendly, you know, asked who's here for the Lego, and I raised my hand. I was like, "I'm, you know, here to get the Sopwith," but I was also kind of looking around. He's like, "Okay, well, what else are you looking at?" Oh, kind of the space shuttle. And I look over and I see my roommate, and he's over at the Lego architecture stuff, and he's got the I think it's the Hobie house, big. set, pricey set. And he's looking at that, and he's like, oh, well, hey. And he goes to put it back up. I mean, he kind of looks at the bottom again, goes to put it up, looks at the bottom again. He's like, well, Aaron, come here. I need your help with something. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what do you need my help? He's like, I need you to put this up for me. I'm like, what? Can't you? I mean, that's kind of heavy. He's like, no, I need you to take it away from me and put it back on the shelf. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, and then he saw like the Lego downtown stuff where it's the Main Street stuff. And he's like, well, hey, Aaron, we gotta go. We gotta go. I was like, no, I still haven't decided if I'm going to get the shuttle too or not. I know I want to get this off with Camel because it's a World War One biplane. Super awesome build. It has a rotary engine and the engine actually rotates the way that it would have in the real plane. Awesome, fun build, controllable surfaces on it. So you move the joystick in the cockpit and it moves the wing flaps and the tail around.
Oh.
Awesome build. And I just see my roommate and he is getting like more and more flushed. And he's weak. And I gotta go. Yeah. So we get out of there and like the whole ride back, he was like still leg twitchy. I'm like, dude, are you okay? He's like, I was getting to the point that if you hadn't got me out of there, I would have been pulling out a credit card and buying all the Lego City Center stuff. I'm like, dude, that would have been like $600 in one swing. He's like, yes, I know. Thanks for getting me out of there. So now I know when he gives me guff about Transformers, hey man, Lego store run.
Now, there's a few things you did that I would have done differently.
Oh, you would have leaned into him.
Number one, when he said we got to go, I would have taken longer.
Oh, I did a little bit.
And number two, when he said, can you help me put this up? I would have said, okay, I would have taken it from him. And I would have given it back to him. And I would have walked away.
Yeah.
And I would have said, here. And I would hand it to him. If he didn't take it, I'd lay it down right in front of his feet. Like, here you go. And just like walk off and do my own thing.
No, what you do is you take the box, you start looking over, and you point out, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, look at that. Oh, look what it is.
No, that gives him the out. That gives him the out to say, oh, no, that's not all that cool. You just go, if he's like, hey, you got to put this away for me. You're like, okay, I take it, look him in the eye, and maintain eye contact as I put it back down on the floor in front of him, and then walk away.
Yeah, it was the Roby House. It's that I just linked in the chat.
Roby House.
Frank Lloyd Wright. One of those architecture ones.
That one. What? Wow, that's a good one to home in on. A mere $200 kit. That's the first thing he homed in on?
Yeah.
You should have made him buy this.
I was thinking about it, but so yeah, I decided to be nice because I have to also live with the man. So
$200.
My. Yeah. God.
How big is it?
It's larger, but the thing is, it's also the architecture, so it's not, I don't think there's like a real full-size brick at all in that. I think it's all smaller pieces so that it's more detailed.
That's cool. Him buy this. You should, hey, listen, you should introduce me to your roommate. It would only be a good thing.
I'll send you information. This one here is the Sopwith Camel that I purchased. That is a gorgeous build. The strings that run across the wings control the flaps. I bought it in the first couple of weeks, so I also got a miniature Sopwith Camel that went along with it. Wonderful, awesome build. If you're a Lego guy and an airplane guy, $100, totally worth it. It's hefty and it does a lot of things right, down to the point that they could have put a wheel on it because it was a tail dragger biplane, but they didn't. They put a little skid piece. And I saw somebody's like, oh, it'd be so easy to just drop a wheel on there. It's like, no, there wasn't a wheel on there on the real Sopwith Camels. It just kind of drug its butt around.
Mm-hmm.
Had to explain to people that the engine, so if you look at the front on the engine on that, you can see like the engine, the cylinder heads, that airplane actually, it was a type of engine where it rotated the cylinder heads and the crankshaft was stable, which basically is like four V8 engines flipping around inside the engine compartment. So the plane would turn twice as fast one direction as it would the other because of the sheer torque of the engine mass.
Hmm.
And it does all those things right. The only issue is that the rudder does not turn left and right when you handle the control stick. However, rudder is controlled by foot pedals, so there is a case for the fact that there's no foot pedals in there to control it. Have I said before that I like airplanes?
You mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking through the LEGO website to find the most expensive kit and then tell you that you should buy that one. But I just noticed that there's a... Did you notice that if you order something off LEGO.com and you spend $75 or more, you get a free limited edition mini sop with camel?
Oh, okay. So they're still running that? I knew that it was kind of celebrating the sop with, and I wasn't sure if that was something that continued on or not.
Well, so you should order $75 of LEGO and get yourself a mini sop with camel.
I already have a mini sop with camel. I don't need another one.
You should get another one and combine them together into a mini double sop with camel.
That makes no sense.
You don't make any sense.
But also in the realm of Legos, I got a whole bunch of the blind pack stuff and have done pretty good at pulling what I thought I was going to be pulling.
So dangerous.
Yeah. And then the ones that I pulled that I didn't get what I was expecting, I still did all right with. So I got a Space Girl, a Bandit, Leprechaun, Robot, Lady Liberty. I had one other in there too that I can't remember. But the only one I thought with the Space Girl, I was going to get the Alien out of Series 6, and that's when I ended up pulling the Bandit. And the Bandit actually, I think, is cooler than the Alien was. So, oh, sad. But yeah, it's an addiction, and it's one that I don't mind.
I just,
especially at like $3 a pop.
Whenever I try to get into that stuff, it always ends up just blowing up in my face, which I guess is good because it's keeping me away from all that stuff. But It's so fun watching you guys open up the bags and go through those like moments of highs and lows, the drama and tribulations.
It's something that if you pay attention to and learn what you're kind of looking for, then it's not really an issue so much. It's you do your little bit of research and find out that, okay, I'm looking for is X. I'm looking for, you know, for Lady Liberty, she's got the skirt piece and the crown, or the tablet that she holds that's like the July 4th, 1776 tablet that the Statue of Liberty has.
Yeah.
So you feel for that, and then, okay, boom, you got it. So it's doing your research.
I have an app.
Yeah. The thing is, it's either they want you to pay $3 for the app, or the free one is like 4 waves back.
Oh. I admit, I never really used it except this one time. And I found out that the barcodes only worked for like the first wave or something.
The first two or three series had a barcode for an identifier, and then they realized, oh, people are just using our internal barcode.
Sully. So aside from a LEGO binge, what else you been doing?
Diablo.
Oh. Have you gotten far in Diablo?
I've beat it on normal, and so now I'm on Nightmare. The second difficulty level. And then I've played a little bit of multiplayer with people. And just been like, man, I just want to pull my dude that's like 18 levels higher and just walk through this. But then it wouldn't be fun or something.
Must enjoy the challenge.
Yeah, not just walk through and just click on everything once and watch them explode.
Yeah. But is that pretty much the gist of your off-topic?
Yep.
All right. Omega's Prime, what did you do that was not Transformers?
I did a few things that were not Transformers.
Oh, was one of them murder?
Anyway, the first toy...
Mm-hmm.
I got the Super Robot Chogokin, Maji King.
How is he?
He is quite nice.
Wings are pretty.
The wings make it. I love articulated wings on a toy because it lets you tell a story with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, where, okay, you put a toy into like a little slashing pose. You don't get the motion. You don't get the movement. You could be holding it there, picking it up, slashing. You don't know. If the wings are flowing in the right direction, it just adds a little life to that that it needs. And it makes it look really cool. The wings are nicely articulated. They do this... They do kind of a hidden ball joint trick where you can have them look solid wings like in the show, but they stick straight outwards that way. Or you can extend these extra joints inside them. The ball joints get revealed, and then you can move them in whatever direction you want. Yeah, and aside from that, it's got all the little articulation points from the rest of the series, so it can do a lot of different poses, a lot of different motions. And it can do the hat tilt.
That sounds cool.
Which is a nice plus.
Those Sentai Super Robot Shogokins are so... I almost have bought them so often, but like I said before, I had to cut something! And Super Robot Shogokin was the thing that was cut after Gao Gai Gar. So I was like, watching all these really cool Sentai robots come out.
Yeah, this one is nice. I love the fact that it comes with a magic circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you get two pieces for that. You either get a stem for your Tamashii stages, so it can float underneath it, and it is and the stem it comes with is molded, so it floats above the stage and below Maji King.
Okay.
And you also get a little stand it up vertically, if you want it behind him or in front of him casting a spell.
That's cool.
It's a really nice toy. There's a couple I have to go back and get now. The line is just getting really, really good.
That's another reason why I've kind of been staring at it from a distance and going like, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Super Robot Chogokin's a good line, and like if I get any more of them, I'm just gonna be like, oh, I should just get all those other ones I'm missing. Ha ha ha. And fall down a horrific tunnel.
One?
I have Gao Gai Gar.
Yeah, so do I. It wasn't enough. Speaking of, finally got around to getting the D-style Gao Gai Gar.
Ooh, how do you like him?
He's fun. I like it. I like that this little model kit still has all the functionality of the big toy. I mean, outside the fully realized transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But I am surprised at how much is actually there. Like, right down to the weird drill fist and wing pack mode for Gaigar that I totally forgot about.
It's in the show once.
Yeah, I remember in the show. I'm amazed that they actually remember to include the engineering for it. So, good on them. It's a really cool set. It could use some paint, and I'm not good at painting.
Aww.
That's the one downside. But it looks fine if you just want to take it out of the box and assemble it. It passes.
Yeah. At least it has some of its own built-in paint apps.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. There's another little clever touch I loved about this was the G-Stone in that you pluck out for his helmet actually is in the sprue marked G.
Aww.
Okay, you got me on that one. Okay, good show.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
But he is a nice figure. I mean, I gotta get King Jader now. I gotta get the Goldimark set too.
I have to assemble all those still. I keep sitting there like, oh man, I got all these model kits, and then I get really busy with school, and then I come home and I'm like, I want to save my model kits so I can do more V builds, which I discovered through multiple videos, not just yours. Multiple videos, I found out this thing of like, okay, when I write down V build or V anything, it's completely narcissistic. Let me just clear that up. The V stands for me. If you want to use it and it stands for video, that's cool. That's fine. I don't care. Go for it. Just in my own case, I should probably clear up. It is, in fact, a completely narcissistic thing I made up that I thought sounded cool back in, like, May in a hotel when I built... What was it? Ghost Sager Robot Man.
I don't even remember what the Ghost Sager robot's called. Holy crap.
Ghost Sager Great.
Ghost Sager Great. Okay, I was like,
Grand.
The Ghost Sager O. Wait.
It's going to be a Power Ranger series soon. Get this right.
Yeah, Mega Force. I'm actually kind of pumped about that.
I'm kind of pumped about it because it replaces everything that I didn't like.
And they call these two characters called Gosei and Tenso. That's like, all right, all right, that's for us. Maybe if there's something in there for us, they also know that nobody likes it. Well, okay, like five people like it. And then maybe they decided who to aim it at, and then we'll see. But anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, the Gal Gaigar is neat. The other model, I got another model kit, which was the high-end master model Liger Zero.
Who made that?
Well, Kotobuki is on the box.
Okay.
So, you got Takara Tomy and Kotobuki on there. I haven't even gotten around to putting that one together yet, because I'm going to need, like, 4 hours just set aside. It is an enormous model kit.
If it's Kotobukiya, that makes me think that there's going to be a lot of just different colored plastic pieces rather than stickers.
There are actually, well, there are a lot of individual parts. All the individual colors there, no need to paint, though lining details wouldn't hurt.
Because that's the trademark of their Super Robot Wars kits, is that like stuff that Bandai would have you do for stickers, like say a blue stripe on a white wing. It'll actually be two pieces, a white wing with a gap, and a blue piece of plastic that goes on with the stripe.
Right.
So I'm assuming that they might have done something like that for that Liger Zero.
Yeah, the only stickers or anything that came with it are the water slide labels.
Oh, okay. Sweet. That's super high-end stuff.
Yeah, that's just for the usual decal stuff. You know, your caution sticker, the Liger Zero logo,
oh, man,
et cetera.
You should have fun building that.
This thing is like really, like, super detailed. The Zoid core is a separate piece you have to construct. There's a fully painted itty-bitty bit cloud from the anime.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I want to see the end result.
Yeah. I'll show it off eventually. Excellent. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a really cool model. I like how they market it, where you can buy the model kit in any of the four flavors. But if you go ahead and buy one, you can just go and buy the armor for the rest. It's like, okay, yeah, there is absolutely no excuse for anybody now.
Well, there's an excuse for me, because I just never really got into Zoids. But I know that Liger Zero has quite a fan base.
Oh, I got nostalgic for the show. I think it was the whole Toonami Return thing.
Hmm. Oh man, Steve Bloom. Speaking of Steve Bloom, he's playing Shockwave in Fall of Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. I may or may not get the chance to interview the man in November.
And I forgot to mention the Fall of Cybertron voice cast came out, but I mean, it's not like, it's cool, but it's not like earth-shattering. We're going to get triple Nolan North. That's the main thing I noticed. But,
okay, last up. Last up, since I have to get my Bugman in, I have the Meteor Storm Shaft.
Oh, I was about to go like, he's not out yet, but I thought you were talking about Fig Arts.
No.
So, do you like tops?
Tops are fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, you can make fun of the top gimmick. I see variety here. I see a toy that does a ton of things in the same package. Okay. So, I have this really, really cool independent electronic switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got as many effects to it as Cosmic does.
Yeah.
Including like a, you got the limit break attached, and then there's like a hidden super limit break.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a cool touch. So, you know, for what, the 1400 yen you drop on Cosmic, right here.
Mm-hmm.
The 600 yen that a Japanese Beyblade goes for, because you got that, and the top lights up, which I like, and so then you got the shaft itself, which admittedly not that cool because it's like really dinky.
It's a dinky shaft.
Yes, it is. But I'm ching.
Dinky,
but
tiny, stumpy, huh?
What?
Yeah.
No. But, you know, in the end of the day, I mean, you're getting a ton of toys out of this. I mean, it's a, for what's basically, you know, a $12-13 out of this to overall price, you get the actual Limit Break sound effect, which Cosmic needs extra toys to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns the thing into a weapon too. So there's a ton of things that it can do for its price. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Variety.
Variety. In a big Japanese toy. Who would think it? It's a cool toy, though.
Hmm. Yeah, I skipped most of the Meteor stuff just because I was like, I got the Forze belt. It's winning awards. I stick stuff in it. So, someday I might look into that stuff, but for now I was kind of like just watching it from a distance.
You need the Meteor driver.
It's
such an awesome sound and light combination.
It's pretty, that is for sure.
Keeping quiet over here. I like my wallet.
Oh, hey.
So I can throw it all at Lego.
I forgot Aaron was over there. Hey, Aaron, come over here. Come over here. Yep.
The fun thing about Meteor's light show is that nice metallic gold rim around it that bounces the light in different directions.
Oh, and the light's in different... Yeah, it's like disco ball style and different colors. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Aaron, you like lights?
Like... Even if you're wearing it, you can still see the light show below, and it looks completely different from above.
Oh, Aaron should get that. Hello?
Yeah.
How's it going over there?
I'm sorry. I had a wallet avoidance trigger happen.
You've already got the switches. They'll make it change color.
That's true. You do.
So instead, I'm looking at like the Lego corner shop.
You have a bunch of circle switches. You could totally get that big, stupid rocket ship sword and stick them in there and have it sing at you.
Yeah, it's an entire chorus and a big rocket.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We'll work Aaron over. Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. But, okay, so you kind of dipped yourself into, like, a couple different pools there. That's that's some variety. Anything else, or was that the end cap of your...
As said.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last thing.
All right.
I had another one on the way, but of course it won't get here before I leave.
I technically have Giant on the way, but Canada still hasn't got theirs yet, so I'm still sitting here biding my time. I really hope they get him in stock tomorrow, because then he might get here Friday. That would be a fun thing to have kicking around on Sunday night, just like bust open my Giant. Anyway. For lack of anything else, I think that does it for us this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, sorry about the somewhat smaller showtime, but we all got stuff to do, and we're not quite at 1 a.m. yet, so boom, we're pulling it off. We'll be back with more goodness, as always. Still weekly, baby. If you'd like to leave us a listener voicemail, which we're going to do something with sometime, yeah, it'll happen. It's partially my fault because I just keep forgetting about... I forget about stuff that isn't get on and record thing, because that's the simplest part of it.
Right.
But our listener question voicemail number is area code 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830. It is not toll-free for internationals, so don't. Or at least, you know, if you're going to do it, don't yell at us afterwards. Know the risks. Aaron, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Omegas, thank you for joining me today.
Anytime.
Hooray. And we'll be
anytime, just not Thursdays.
Yeah, just not Thursdays, because, of course, my schedule is more important than everyone else's.
Where are you going?
I'm going to MetroCon 2012.
Boom! I wanted that to be a plug, so we kind of pulled it off.
Awesome convention.
MetroCon 2012.
Harassing Scott McNeil 5 years in a row.
Harassing Scott McNeil, half a decade of shaking the man and making him drop his cowboy hat. We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. WTF and TFW. What different to voir?
It means, but you got some badass. perpetrators, and they're here to stay.